Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 16, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
Thank you very much. God bless you. I'm honored to be here to serve you today. And by the way, I do all those things too, Stan, all that research and digging and looking in the Greek and but a lot of times the Lord just speaks to me and He keeps me in line. And I really can't claim any credit for this because when I was doing those things that Stan was talking about, without God's word of knowledge and wisdom, I had it all figured out wrong. And basically I had to start from scratch. Like He said, about a year after I came to the Lord, this gift came upon me, and the first revelation I got was that the whole church wasn't flying away pre-tribulation rapture. And my church was having an argument over that at the time. And I asked the Lord about it, and that's the first word of knowledge I got, and He confirmed it very quickly. We're going to have to get started here because I got a long ways to go, okay? God bless you. Stan's already talked about his revelation about digging me back up. He had buried me, I think, but he dug me back up. Anyway, Sean also had a dream last year I thought I'd mention to you that I had actually forgotten about until after Stan called me and shared his dream with me. And Sean had a dream that I'd called his dad with a new revelation from God, quote, on the judgment of America spoken of by Dimitri Dudeman. And that was back in the fall of 2003. Then Stan called and gave me his suit dream, and I told him that I would I'd pray about it and see what the Lord told me. I knew that I was going because God had given me actually two dreams. But that night I prayed and I asked the Lord to give me a dream to confirm if this was His direction for me to do this, because I was working very hard on a lot of other projects at the time and I really didn't want to back up. So when I asked the Lord, I either had a dream or a vision. I don't know which, because it was kind of in that twilight state, you know, before going to sleep. But I was standing on the East Coast with my third child, Nathan. And Nathan decided he wanted to go for a swim. And I thought, well, he'll go in the Atlantic Ocean, you know. But no, he had to go in the Gulf of Mexico. So he took a little... It was just like a walk across the street. He went in the Gulf of Mexico and took a swim. Well, after that, he went over to the Pacific and took a swim. And I noticed everywhere he swam, you know how it is in a dream or a vision, you can see vast areas at one time. And I noticed everywhere he swam, there was a pipeline leading from the water inland to hotel rooms, or hotels, actually. And that's the only thing I really saw there. But the Lord spoke to me about this dream. He spoke to me that the reason it was my third child, Nathan, is because this would be a third fruit of mine. And the only organization I have a third fruit with at this particular time is the Prophecy Club, because I've already been on one tour and one conference. So I realized that the Lord was really using this to show me that, sure enough, we were going to have some more fruit, and it would be in the hotel conference rooms, and that God was going to pipe the people into the hotel conference rooms. And you know, the waters represent the peoples, nations, tribes, and tongues in that area, so in the Bible and Revelation. So I took this as a confirmation. However, when I received this, I then remembered that I'd had this same thing as a dream about a month and a half before this. So it was like Joseph said, in that the dream is doubled, it means it's surely going to come to pass. It's ordained to the Lord, it's surely going to come to pass. So I knew what God was saying to me. He knows with me, he knows two dreams mean I know it's going to happen. So it was a strong confirmation to me. And then Stan, you know, asked me to pray about what I would share. And when I did, the Lord spoke to me and he said, the fall of America and rise of the saints. And at that time is when I actually remembered Sean's dream about the new revelation from God on the fall of America, concerning the time spoken of by Dimitri Dudeman. That's what he said. So the next night, I believe it was, I was praying and I asked the Lord to please give me strength. Strength in my mind, strength in my body, because I was just tired. I've been going for a long time. Hadn't had any days off in quite a while. Staying very, very busy. And I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you really, really want me to do this, please give me some strength in my body and in my mind. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was wide awake. And I just woke up wide awake. I felt something in the room and wide awake, but I didn't open my eyes. And I felt this presence come into the room, and then I couldn't open my eyes. And the presence actually came over and sat down on my bed next to me, so much so that I felt the mattress push down, you know, mash in with the presence. And again, I couldn't open my eyes, or didn't open my eyes. I couldn't figure out why, but at that time, before I could do anything, it was like this, just waves of glory started washing up and down my body, you know, just up and down, up and down, up and down. It was so exhilarating that I just cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, what is this, you know? And what came to my mind was the prayer I prayed when I went to bed. Lord, you're going to have to strengthen me if you really want me to do this. And I really did feel strengthened. The presence left. I didn't go to sleep the rest of the night. But in the morning, I was feeling strong. By the way, when this was happening, I saw a vision of myself laying in the bed, and my limbs were like strengthening. I could see it, you know. So that was like really about 5 confirmations that the Lord really wanted us to do this. So I'm totally convinced the Lord's going to use this. Let's start on our subject here. 2 delays in the fall of the United States. I'm going to share this with you, which the Lord shared with me starting in about 1998. He started sharing this with me. Leading up to the year 2000, there were many true dreams, visions, prophecies, revelations, Bible codes of an imminent pre-tribulation fall of the United States. And I think before 2000, a good many prophetic-type people were convinced that America was in imminent danger. And the Prophecy Club did send out people like Dimitri Dudeman, who I highly respect. And I've received, you know, rebukes from people since then because I was pushing Dimitri Dudeman at the time, and people said that he was a false prophet. And I'm here to tell you that he wasn't a false prophet, and I'm going to share some things with you to prove that. But all the prophets that went out at that time, I can say this, that actually in 1998, I knew that those prophecies would be delayed because the Lord showed it to me. And he showed it to me that it was going to be delayed in the Bible. It was already in there for thousands of years that it would be delayed. God can change or delay whatever he speaks to you through a dream or a vision or a prophecy or a Bible code. He can delay it. I will say this, though, that I have discovered that in the case of a delay, when it actually becomes manifest, it will happen as and when the Bible says it will happen. Now, some people say, well, we can pray this thing away and it'll never come. But that's not true. The fall of America is written in the Bible so many places that it is absolutely going to come to pass. The Word is like a rock. He wants us to be sure that we can believe what it says and not to ever doubt. Psalm 119 and 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." So what God says in His Word, that's final. That's not a warning. It's going to come to pass. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "We have a word of prophecy made more sure." And that is the Scriptures. There's one thing we can be sure of, even more so than the prophet's warnings, is the Word of God. Because if there is a delay, it will be written in there. And the final act will be fulfilled in there too. So, and not only that, the Bible says that the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. If you study the history of the Bible, you know what's going to happen. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And you also know when people go astray, because when they start adding to the Word or making their wishful thinking doctrines, you know when they're going astray, because they're going astray of history. Because the things that have been are the things that shall be. The Bible in history, the Bible history, is a word of prophecy more sure. Both Israel and the United States were chosen by God to represent Him to the world. And both have fallen into apostasy. And God's got a particular way of dealing with apostasy. Many lesser times and six more prominent times, God has raised up beast empires to actually conquer Israel and bring her to her knees, so to speak, bring her to crucifixion, so to speak, and repentance, so to speak. Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Media Persia and Greece and Rome, these were all world-ruling empires that just happened to conquer little bitty Israel that you could almost throw a rock across. Seems like they're very, very important. And God always takes credit for raising up these beast empires. Okay? Well, something happened at the end of the Old Testament. There was a change, right? And at the end of the Old Testament, we found out because they didn't believe the prophet and the Son of God that the Father sent, that He broke them off of the olive tree called All Israel. And He grafted in the believers, who He now called sons of Abraham, through faith in Christ Jesus. And He grafted in the church into that olive tree in Romans chapter 11, which He called all Israel. So we now are members of Israel. And our spiritual father is Abraham. We're not physical members of Israel, and we're not physical Israelites, but we are spiritual Israelites in the church. So if God dealt with Israel with these world-ruling individual empires, God chose individual empires to conquer an individual empire, and that was Israel. If God dealt with them in that way, how would He deal with the church, who is now a worldwide corporate empire? Because the Bible does say in Peter that we are a holy nation, a chosen generation. However, we're not an individual nation, we're a corporate nation that covers the whole globe. So if He used individual beast kingdoms to conquer an individual people of God, what would He do in the New Testament? And the fact is that God has chosen to use a corporate worldwide empire to persecute the saints and bring them to repentance and crucify their flesh. That's His plan. And literally these world-ruling empires here, Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, He's used every one of those in a last empire with seven heads and 10 horns. And these are the heads we're talking about right here. 7 heads and 10 horns. But it's a world-ruling empire that has swallowed up all of the seed of all these previous empires. And it's a world-ruling empire so it can bring the world church to their cross. So what we have here now is a 7-head, 10-horned empire, but what the Lord has shown me is that each of these individual empires, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, are types and shadows of what the end time empire will do. You can go back and study these, and the history of these will be fulfilled in the last empire. Now, this is something interesting. From the time the northern 10 tribes rebelled under Jeroboam and became independent of Judah, One or the other was at war almost every 17 years for a period of 15 cycles, after which Israel around 690 B.C. and then Judah around 682 B.C. were conquered by the Assyrian beast. Now remember what I said, the Assyrian beast, the actions of the Assyrian beast will be fulfilled in the last beast. Now look at the parallel between Israel and the United States here. From the time the U.S. became independent of Britain, forming the 13 original colonies, she too has been in a war every 17 years, almost every 17 years, for a period of 15 cycles, until the Grenada War in 1983. The interesting thing is that even the exceptions to the rules of Israel and the United States in these war cycles, even the exceptions are the same. They're common. Because in the 6th and 10th cycle, there was no war. But then from 1983 to 2000 would have been the 17 years in the 16th cycle, the next cycle. And in that cycle is when Israel and Judah fell. Also in that cycle, Jerusalem was spared. Notice the way I've spell Jerusalem here, J-E-R, capital U-S-A-L-E-M. Now, most people think that's a gimmick, but it's not, because the Lord has shown me several prophecies that are being fulfilled between Jerusalem and the United States of America. Some of you have heard prophecies recently, in the last few years, about warning the United States not to be involved in dividing Jerusalem for the Palestinians, because that America itself would be divided if they did that. And that is exactly what the Bible says. I can show it to you in the Scriptures. And that will happen. In that case, Jerusalem does stand for the USA. Dimitri Dudeman had a revelation similar to this too, that when he was standing in Israel, that he was standing on the property of the United States. You need a confirmation for this, of course. Well, during the 16th cycle for the United States around 1987, I acted out a prophecy of delay. You know how prophets, many times the Lord will use them to act out a prophecy. Well, this happened to me. In 1987, I started receiving a lot of pain, and I started passing a lot of blood. And I asked the Lord, what did this mean? And what I heard was cancer. And then the next day I got a confirmation, because I went across town to a Christian bookstore that I never go to. I usually go to the one closer to me. I went across town, and there were two ladies there who had been praying for me, unbeknownst to myself. I had told no one about this. I hadn't even told my wife about it. She found out by accident later. But at that time that I walked into this Christian bookstore, these two ladies came up to me and said, "We've been praying for ministers that we know of, and we prayed for you, and the Lord spoke to us loud and clear, and He said that you were having a war with a spirit of cancer, but that you would win." And I thanked Him. I told Him it was a confirmation, and I thanked Him for the encouragement, and I never had any doubts that I would win, because for 30 years, that's the only way I have conquered sickness, in myself, in my children, raised five children, and they all have always been healed. So God is faithful to take care of us. Anyway, driving home from that bookstore, I thought, when I get home, I'm going to ask the Lord to give me a word concerning this. Let me tell you something. You don't really need a word if God's already given you one from the Scriptures, right? You know what He says in the Scriptures? That by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. You don't really need another word, do you? And basically, that's what I found out. Because I went home and I decided I'm going to flip my Bible open and stick my finger down and see what God shows me concerning this situation. And I did. Flipped my Bible open, stuck my finger down. It fell right on, "Thou shalt die and not live." 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. Literally, I put my finger down right on "die." "Thou shalt die and not live." And I thought, wow, isn't that something? I said, Lord, this isn't in agreement with Your word to me. This isn't in agreement with Your promises to me. You've taught me not to accept things like this. Before I go too far in that direction, I want to share with you that this verse is used of King Hezekiah at the exact time that Jerusalem was threatened with an invasion by the Assyrian beast, but was delayed at the exact time. Now, I didn't know this at the time. All I knew was I had my mind on what to do with this cancer, you know. But later, the Lord pointed me back to it, and He showed me the whole scenario. It was so beautiful how the Lord pointed it out to me. Anyway, we have a confirmation right there in the text, 19 and 32. 2 Kings 19 and 32. Thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, who shall not come into the city nor shoot an arrow there. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you've taught me not to depart from the word, and I believe you're trying me, and I don't see any reason to depart from the word now. I've always received healing from you before, and I don't see why I wouldn't receive it now. Not walking in any willful disobedience. So I'm asking you to give me another word. So sure enough, I flipped my Bible open, stuck my finger down. It fell right on Psalm 118 and 17. I shall not die but live. Stuck my finger right in the middle of that text. I shall not die but live. And I said, thank you, Lord. I'll take that one. And I did. Praise be to God. And I was healed because I stood on that. And I stood on the verses that I'd stood on all of my Christian life. And the symptoms just gradually left, and they were gone. Well, the same thing was happening in this text to Hezekiah, you know, and he got the same kind of an answer. What God was showing me is He was delaying my end, not only my end later, but He showed me that America's end was being delayed too. Well, Hezekiah got the same answer. 2 Kings 20 and 6, it says, I will add unto thy days 15 years, which means, of course, a delay to the end, right? 15 years, and I will deliver this city. So he's comparing his life and the city, exactly what the Lord was doing with me. I will deliver this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And so the attack on Jerusalem with capital USA in the middle was delayed. And that's what the Lord showed me later, that He was making this plain for me. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and then I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? Well, the Lord pointed this out to me, that this was significant for us too, because at that time we hadn't come to the third day. The third day, of course, a day is as unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The third day, if you count from the last Adam, comes up to the year 2000, the real year 2000, which, in my opinion, happened in September of 2001. Okay? But be that as it may, you have to come to the year 2000 in order to come to the third day. The days in the scriptures are counted from the first Adam, and they're counted from the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ. The prophetic days, they're all through the scriptures. They all give timing. You know, we've come to the morning of the seventh day from the first Adam, but we've come to the morning of the third day from the last Adam. So, and the sign was, of course, that the shadow of the sundial went backwards 10 steps or 10 degrees on the dial of Ahaz, right? Delaying time, delaying the end. And at that time, we know that this really happened, because at that time, Hezekiah and the Romans and the Egyptians, they all changed their calendar from 360 to 365 days a year. An interesting thing happened. So I realized later that that was a delay in the judgment of the United States, exactly like Hezekiah's healing was a delay for the judgment of Jerusalem. So 15 years later, symptoms came back to me. They weren't the same symptoms, but they were symptoms of death. And at that time, I considered it to be something like cardiovascular disease. We had people in our assembly that were experts at this, and they called it that. I don't accept disease because it's not ours, you know. We've been healed. And so, but I had all the symptoms. My right side was going cold, and I was I couldn't get warmed up. My whole right side, this hand would be so much colder than this hand. And circulation was bad, and my heart was doing flip-flops, and I just generally didn't feel good. And this was 15 years. My wife pointed out to me, David, we're right at 15 years from when the Lord healed you before. And I thought to myself, now wait a minute, God gave Hezekiah 15 years. And I went back to the Lord. I said, Lord, are you telling me that the rest of that prophecy was for me too, and that you were only giving me 15 years, and that now I'm going to die? And the Lord gave me an affirmative on that. And I thought, wow, isn't that something? I thought on it for a minute. And I said, well, Lord, I don't see any reason yet that I should deny your word. You tell us to hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, because he is faithful, it promised. And I don't see any reason not to believe that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. So I don't accept that one either. And you know, some people would say, you shouldn't argue with God like that, David. But actually, I think the Lord does want us to argue with him when he's trying us like he tried Abraham. And he never wants us to depart from the word. He will see if we will be moved from the word. And so what happened there was I was healed again. And I was acting out a second delay for the fall of America. And the Lord showed me this. Interestingly enough, both Joel and Amos likened the Assyrian invasion to a locust invasion that would burn the land. And a lot of people read Joel and I hear expositors using it all the time as though it was actual locust invasion, which it wasn't. Because locusts don't burn the land, they eat it, right? But actually, the locusts in the Bible stand for the Assyrian invasion. And Joel called this time the latter rain. You know, in our time, the latter rain. In their time, in the earlier time, it was the former rain. But in our time, it was the latter rain. And Amos called it the latter growth. And of course, the latter rain brings the latter growth. So we're talking about the same time between Joel and Amos. But through intercession, both Joel and Amos, the threatened invasion was delayed twice. Amos, in his text, tells us very plainly that it was delayed twice. Amos 7, 1 through 6. He says, thus the Lord showed me, and behold, he formed the locusts in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. When they made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord, forgive, I beseech thee, how shall Jacob stand, for he is small. Forgive the partial text here, but I would have had a lot more slides if I hadn't used them. The point is here that God delayed it because Jacob was small. And actually, this is a much more plausible reason why God chose to not bring the judgment upon America at the time. There was repentance, but it wasn't the kind of repentance that most people thought should happen. So God, this is the first delay here. How shall Jacob stand? For he is small. And the Lord said, it shall not be, saith the Lord. That's the first delay. Then the Lord called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and would have eaten up the land. Then said I, O Lord, cease, I beseech thee. How shall Jacob stand? For he is small. This also shall not be, saith the Lord. And there was a second delay. Jacob is small. What he was saying was Jacob was too immature to have stood that kind of a judgment on his land at that time. And the church obviously is in that bad of a situation that it would not stand an invasion. Everything God does, he does it for the betterment of his church, to grant repentance and to cause us to grow up in the Lord and these things. I'm convinced, and I believe you'll be convinced too, before we get through with this teaching, that you'll understand that before this invasion does come, God's people will not be like they are today. God's people will be very mature, walking in the power of God, the power of the latter rain, and great signs and wonders and miracles and holiness will be manifested in His church. So that's the second delay in the beast attack on Jerusalem, you know, Jerusalem and USA. The third time in Amos was the judgment, which God refused to delay. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood beside a wall made by a plumb line. You know what a wall represents in the Scripture? Prophetically, a wall represents separation from you, between you and the world. The word sanctification in the Bible also means separation from the world, separation from sin unto God. And this wall just happens to be made by a plumb line. You know what a plumb line does? Is it shows us what's perfectly perpendicular, right? And actually, the Bible talks about maturity in His saints being standing up in Romans chapter, I think it's 14. and that the Lord is able to make him stand. He shall be made to stand, for God hath power to make him stand. He's talking about people who are fallen in their doctrine, but stand up, you know. And the plumb line is to make sure it's perfectly standing up straight, right? And it also symbolizes being judged by the law, because plumb line works by the law of gravity. So at the plumb line judgment, God is going to judge his people by his law, by the word. That's what he's going to do. And you know what? There are going to be a great group of people that will be able to stand that scrutiny. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. In other words, no more delays. About this time, I don't read a lot of books. I don't read any prophecy books. I haven't done it in many, many years. I get a lot more reading the Bible, listening to the Holy Spirit, because I do a lot of research, but God has set me straight many times, I tell you, and opened my eyes to things that I would have never seen otherwise. Without his grace, I wouldn't know what I know, absolutely. But about the time I got this revelation in Amos, someone gave me a book by Anna Roundtree, The Heavens Opened. And normally I don't read these books that people give me, but the Lord impressed me. He had something to show me there, and I read enough to see what he wanted to show me. The Lord was giving a revelation to Anna from a heavenly perspective. They were looking down upon the earth, and he said, gesturing towards the ground in front of them within the sheepfold, and the area opened to reveal the world spinning some distance beneath us. As I looked at the globe, I heard huge footsteps as if giants were walking, shaking the earth. Giants shaking the earth represents the superpowers in the world, getting ready to break apart in her revelation here. The ground of the earth trembled and the mountains began to break apart. Mountains represent kingdoms, both God's kingdom and kingdoms of the world, right? And they were beginning to break apart in this revelation. Heaven opened and I saw a weighted plumb line drop from heaven through the sheepfold to the earth. Through the sheepfold. You understand who God is really measuring here? It's not America. America doesn't know any better. America doesn't have a gift from God. We do. We're the ones that's going to be judged by the law. You see, we're the ones that God is waiting for our maturity to come to pass to reap his harvest, right? The sheepfold is important. When people demand that America repent, that's really silly, because you know that many are called but few are chosen, and that's talking about the saints, the many called and the few chosen. That's all talking about the saints. The overwhelming majority of America is on the broad road. They don't know any better. It's us that God that counts, really. And as the plumb line reached earth, fire came out of the heaven and traveled the plumb line, passing before us and sweeping down the line to earth. And suddenly the whole world was aflame. Notice that the plumb line judgment, and I'm of course applying this to America and Jerusalem too, by the way. The plumb line judgment is at the time of a world war. The whole world was aflame. Notice that. It fits with everything else we're going to look at here. Okay? And I'm going to make a statement up front, and I'm going to prove it later, that the last world war is involved in America's fall. And we're going to prove this. Amos chapter 8, 2 and 3. I will not again pass by them anymore. The dead bodies shall be many and in every place. This is a very broad destruction, not just in America. In that day, saith the Lord, I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear of the day. This is a sign. This symbol is all through the Scripture giving a timing. Okay? 9 and 10. All the sinners of God's people will die by the sword, who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us. They're saying it today. They'll be saying it then too. But notice, he says, all the sinners of God's people. Now, when does that happen? Think about it. When does this actually happen? Okay, well, we'll look at that. In Ecclesiastes 1:9, it says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Everything just keeps repeating itself. History just keeps repeating to show that there's one mind on the throne and he rules all. You know, if there was more than one mind, one loose cannon, you couldn't consider that history would perfectly repeat itself over thousands of years. So we know that God is on the throne, right? So now we know that the U.S. has been in a war every 17 years for a period of 15 cycles, just like Israel was. God's dealing with America as he dealt with Israel. And now, after two delays, the plumb line judgment will come, and it will come as a nuclear holocaust, as a beast invasion, and as a world war. And at that time, the apostate Christians will die. They will have had their chance to walk in the glory of God and been given the truth and been given the power to live it at that time. And they will not have chosen rather to walk after the flesh. Some confirmation here from the Bible code. The Bible code by Michael Drosnin accurately showed, for instance, World War II, 1939, World War, Adolf Hitler. The skip sequence showed all the wars, basically. But the two that we're talking about, the two delays that we're talking about are also there. For instance, there was written in the Bible code, Atomic Holocaust with World War. And it was encoded for 2 years. The Hebrew year 5760, which is actually our year in September of 99 to September of 2000. And the Hebrew year 5766, which is actually our year of October of 2005 to September of 2006. Basically, 2000 and 2006. And along with that was written delay. And it was written in with the word world war. Delay. There was a delay in 2000. There will be a delay in 2006. I don't know about you, but I'm already hearing the prophets say, pronounce the warnings of what's coming in 2006. Okay? Well, the world war fall of America will not happen there. Okay? I can tell you that now. There was a time when the Lord kept my mouth shut. He wouldn't let me tell people. But I can tell you that now. Okay? It will not happen there because God's got a greater plan. Okay? In 2000 and 2006, the Bible code is encoded with, I will delay the war. In the plain text of the Bible, everywhere end of days appears, delayed appears in the hidden code. Russia, China, and USA, the principal players in this end time event and this world war in which America is the first to fall, it also appears with world war. I'm not saying that America's going to get out of anything because this world war is at the end, because actually America is going to lose multitudes of people. Multitudes of people to terrorists through biological terrorism, nuclear terrorism, and natural catastrophes. Multitudes of people, millions of people are going to die before the world war happens. However, that doesn't have to happen to us, does it? We have the promises that the world doesn't have. We have awesome promises of God's protection and deliverance and provision, and we're going to look at some of those too. Of course, what you want to know is the fall is delayed, but until when and why? In July of 96, I saw the United States in a vision as Nineveh, which, as you know, is the head or the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And what I saw was I was standing above the Gulf of Mexico in this vision. I live in Pensacola, which is on the Gulf, but I was further out in the Gulf and I was a lot higher up. I mean, I was looking down on America stretched out in front of me. And as I looked at America, my sight was directed upwards and I saw a veil stretched over America, like a great sheet stretched over America. And as I looked further upwards, I saw a giant bomb up there hanging. And it was almost as big as America. And this bomb was literally hanging from a string with a bow knot in it. Like this, like you're living on the edge, right? You know, this is a very dangerous time to be living. So as I looked at that bomb, I looked back down at America, and I saw America had changed. And instead of the land the way you would normally see it, there was a wall around America. And the wall reminded me of an above-ground swimming pool wall. It followed the outline of America, and it went around like this. And inside the wall, there was water, And there were fish swimming everywhere, all throughout America. And then at the time, I realized there was something in my hand, and I turned and looked, and I had a fishing pole in my hand. And the Lord was telling me back in 1996 that, showing me that if I would get this revelation out to the people, that they would be able to perceive the danger that America was in. And of course, from my perspective at the time, they wouldn't be out from under it. Now, I don't have any plans to move from America, and I don't believe that God is going to move me from America, because I've seen pretty far ahead what my ministry is going to be like. But I do know that there are people in America that are not under that bomb. And that's one thing we want to talk about today. Even though they're physically here, they're not under that bomb. Okay? But then the Lord reminded me of a footnote, a note actually that I'd written in the margin of my Bible concerning Nineveh. And Nineveh is the Hebrew word for Nineveh, the Assyrian name for Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. And it's written ideographically with a cuneiform sign of a fish within an enclosure. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it before, but it's a fish inside a wall. And at the time, the Lord showed me clearly that America, that Nineveh represented America. And just as Nineveh was the head of a world ruling empire, that is the Assyrian Empire, America is right now the head of a world ruling empire. Some may disagree with me, but I don't think you'll disagree by the time we get through looking at some scriptures, that America is the so-called the only world superpower, and it is the head of the nations, and it is the head over the UN world beast. That's right, a world beast kingdom that involves all nations, a one world empire, the foundation of which is the United Nations, not the EU. Okay? God was saying to me that just as Nineveh's judgment was delayed in Jonah's time, so in our modern time, the Jonahs of our day have brought about some form of repentance, and there would be a delay in the judgment of America. Similar to many prophets warning the United States, Jonah cried, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That sounds pretty positive, doesn't it? And yet he wasn't a false prophet, but Nineveh repented and God delayed the judgment. And elect people, important elect people, in the United States did repent, and in the body of Christ did repent. And God did spare, but the main reason was, of course, how shall Jacob stand, for he is small. God's people were not prepared for this judgment yet. So Jonah fled from warning Nineveh basically because he wanted them to be destroyed. He was very patriotic for his nation, and basically his patriotism made him have more allegiance to Israel than he had to the Lord. You can tell that obviously in his words and the fact that he fled. He fled because his contemporaries at the time, Amos and Joel and Micah, had already prophesied that Nineveh, at the head of the Assyrian Empire, would conquer the people of God and bring them into bondage and tribulation. And he didn't want that to happen. He wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. In the same way, I saw that the United States, at the head of the UN beast, will bring the saints into bondage, into the bondage that was symbolized by the fish enclosure. They will bring the saints into the bondage, and during tribulation. America was spared for a purpose, but it's not what most Christians think. They prayed for America to be spared. God spared it the same way He spared Nineveh, but He spared it for a purpose concerning us. After conquering God's people and crucifying their flesh in tribulation, Nineveh, as a type of the United States, did fall, just as the prophet Nahum later prophesied. The invasion and destruction of Nineveh, as a type of the United States, was delayed from before the tribulation of the saints to after the tribulation of the saints. You hear what I'm saying now? I'm going to give you a lot of proof of this, a lot of proof straight out of the Bible. A delay isn't a delete. It will come to pass. We cannot stop it. It will come to pass. Many of the pre-tribulation warnings that we receive through men like Demetriou and many others will still come to pass. but they won't come to pass in their original timing. Just as with Jonah's prophecy, Jonah prophesied in 40 days. Well, it didn't come to pass in 40 days, but it did come to pass. And it came to pass after they conquered the people of God. We need someone to bring us to our cross. Let's face it. It's never happened before in history that God's people just humbly submitted without tribulation, without being brought to their cross by a world-ruling beast, basically. History repeats itself. What the things that have been are the things that shall be. Here's another clue. In 2000 and 2006, these two dates are encoded with Armageddon. Now that's interesting because the Armageddon war doesn't happen before the tribulation, it happens after the tribulation. These two warnings of the destruction of America are both encoded with Armageddon. And I'm going to prove to you that that's where America falls. It starts at the end of the seven-year tribulation. That's where Armageddon starts. And it lasts for a year. Since the tribulation hadn't yet started, and Armageddon does start at the end of the tribulation, we know that this fall of America has been put off till at least 2012 to 2014. Again, that's not giving you a date for when America falls. I'm just saying, we know what happens at the end of the tribulation period. It's very clear in the Bible. And if that's when America falls, it won't be for some years yet before she falls. But we're not getting out of anything because God, way back when I started hearing this about America, the judgment of America, I started praying, Lord, be merciful. Please ratchet up this judgment in order to get as many people to repent as possible. And that's exactly what God's going to do. I didn't know it at the time that he'd already planned to do that. So when I found that out, I thought, praise be to God, because he is going to bring as many people into the kingdom as possible. The Nineveh, U.S. connection was made plain to me in September of 1998. I got the vision, as I told you, in 96. But in 98 is when I actually got the revelation that that United States was Nineveh and that there was a delay. At that time, I shared it with our assembly, and we got three dream confirmations. The two shortest ones are these. Pauline was by the seawall at the Navy base in Pensacola, Florida, in her dream, and she saw a huge bomb falling over the water, and everyone was just terrified, but the bomb just stopped a few feet above the water and stayed there. And then Debbie had a dream at the exact same time. A red car, we thought representing sin, started running down a hill, and someone whom we thought was Jesus, probably, got in and turned the key off and stopped the car before it crashed at the bottom. Another delay, okay? Delay. Later, the car started by itself without the key and continued on down the hill and crashed. In other words, in rebellion to its owner, right? And we know who owns the United States, right? Well, the Lord told me to be quiet about this. He told me, share it with our local assemblies there, which I did, and he told me to be quiet about it until September of 99. And then he told me to share it with the prophets, which I did. I wrote an article called Judgment Delayed, and I sent it out to many, many prophets. Got quite a few letters back or emails back, and many of them told me that they saw it. I'd given just many more examples than I'm going to give here about this delay that the Lord had shown me. And they saw it, and they weren't going to preach it anymore. How many of you know it's a good thing to know before the prophesied event that it's not going to happen, because then people can't call you a false prophet, right? That's why God did this. And also, he delayed it because he delayed the revelation of this delay for the purpose that he wanted a lot of people to repent when they heard that word. You know, God sees the end from the beginning. He sees all the delays. He sees everything. But he uses the preaching of the gospel to bring people to repentance. Before Jonah went to Nineveh, God knew there was going to be a delay. But he had to go to bring the people to repentance. And the warning was true. The warning was true. At the same time, by the way, in September of 99, the Lord told me that Y2K will be nothing. And I shared it with a few people too. I think it was to help confirm that this really was a revelation from God. And truly it was nothing. Babylonian Empire. Let's look at this. This is kind of interesting. And we look at the Assyrian Empire, how it can point to the United States world ruling empire, the United States over the UN being a world ruling empire. Now the Babylonian Empire is a type of the U.S. ruling the UN beast. Let me give you a few examples. I know most of you probably already understand that America is Babylon, so I'm just going to share just a few of these. Like Babylon, the United States has the symbol of the great eagle. In Ezekiel 17, Babylon is called the great eagle. And nobody in the world is the great eagle but the United States, right? And Babylon had a mother whose symbol was the lion, right? The symbol of the lion for the United States is, of course, Britain. It's on all their coat of arms and so all over Britain. That's their symbol, the lion. And their cubs, too. Many of their cubs have this symbol. And Babylon, like the United States, is the richest nation in the world. It's a melting pot of mingled people. Now, there's a reason for this, and that is that if you look a little further down here, it trades with all who have ships in the sea. It's trade with all nations, brings it into contact with a lot of peoples, draws a lot of people in. In the United States, we've been called the melting pot because all the people of the nations of the world have come into the United States, and sad to say, too, all of their religions have come into the United States. So we're very much like Babylon. And America fits the prophecies about Babylon totally and completely because those prophecies, you know, every prophecy has more than one fulfillment to it in history. The preterists say there's only one fulfillment of prophecy. Like in 70 AD, that was the fulfillment of the Antichrist, and nothing beyond that can be true. But the truth is, it did happen in 70 AD. They have that part right. But they don't have it right in that history repeats itself, and the things that have been are the things that shall be. So they're totally wrong on that. And they won't know what's going to happen in these days. It's all going to be a new revelation to them. But America is a melting pot like Babylon was. And it's a coastal nation that sits upon many waters. We fulfill that better than Babylon does. Even though they straddled the Euphrates and were on the Gulf, they were on many waters, but America sits on many, many more waters. Like Babylon, the United States has an unmatched military machine, is the head of the nations in the latter days. You know there's more than one latter days in the Bible? Peter talked about the latter days being back there at Pentecost. You know, and it was truly the latter days of the Jews' covenant. And now we've come to the latter days of the Gentiles' covenant, right? So there are more than one latter days in the Bible. Remember that. People say Paul made a mistake when he talked about that being the latter days. No, he didn't. He knew exactly what he was doing. Like Babylon, the United States gathers all nations into a one world order. Babylon did this. Is the queen of the nations. Brings God's people into great tribulation. This is something we're going to look at. Babylon brought the people of God into tribulation and bondage. And America will do the same thing. Creates the image of the UN beast. Babylon created the image of the UN beast. We'll look at that too in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. All nations in one image of the beast. Okay, is attacked by a federation of nations and is conquered by a bear. You know, Babylon, as the great eagle, was conquered by the great bear of Medo-Persia. And America, as the great eagle, will be conquered by a great bear of Russia. The U.S. is now spiritual and physical Babylon since conquering Iraq. In Daniel 2 and 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he hath made known what shall be in the latter days. Now, this following revelation that we're looking at in Daniel, most people see it as in a historic view. In other words, lasting throughout history, and that's definitely true, but there also is an end time view of this. The historic view, let's look at that first. It says, behold, a great image. This is the image of the beast. Its head was of fine gold, and that was Babylon. Its breast and its arms of silver, and that was Medo-Persia. Its belly and thighs of brass, and that was the Grecian Empire. And its legs of iron, and that's Rome. And its feet part of iron and part of clay, and that is a revived Rome coming to pass in our days. That's the historic view. Each one of these kingdoms conquered the previous kingdom in history and ruled. But what I want to tell you is it's also an end time view because There is the great day of the war of God, the Bible calls it, in which these same battles will happen. And the same eagle of Babylon will be conquered at that time by the bear of Russia. The eagle of the United States will be conquered by the bear of Russia. And if you look up there again, you see that Greece comes into play there. And Greece, he's not talking about Greece during the Alexander's Empire. He's talking about Greece after the Alexander's Empire, because in Daniel 7, there's a parallel revelation to Daniel 2, in which he describes these exact same kingdoms. And there he described Greece as a leopard with four wings and four heads. So he's describing the Grecian Empire post-Alexander the Great. And what happened there was Alexander's four generals divvied up the kingdom into four kingdoms. And what we're going to see is that that is what is going to conquer the bear in our day, which is Russia. Four kingdoms. And the Lord has shown me two of these kingdoms, and I think he showed Dimitri Dudeman that Japan and China would conquer the Russian bear. And I believe that exactly. The main kingdom there is China. But I believe also that Germany has a lot to do with the leopard, even in our day, the leopard of Germany. And the leopard of China and leopard in Japan is going to join in. Several nations are going to join in to conquer Russia during that end time war. And of course, the last war will be when they all join back together as the revived Roman Empire to come against Israel one more time. We'll look at that. Now, here's the neat thing, is that a stone was cut out without hands. Speaking about the mountain of the kingdom of God, a stone was cut out of that mountain without hands, which smote the image in its feet.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.